we have got on Talk Radio Europe, Queen Meryl. It's actually Erin Carlson. She's written an amazing book all about Meryl Streep. Now, Meryl Streep has never taken a supporting role in film or in life. From a very young age, and even as a frizzy-haired, awkward teen, those around Meryl realised the star she would become. Emerging from small-town suburbia to the all-female Vassar College, and later at Yale Drama School, where she studied alongside Sigourney Weaver, Meryl Streep's life is just as surprising, impressive, and peppered with anecdotes, as you might imagine. Now, in Queen Meryl, biographer and journalist Erin Carlson tells the story of the life of the most celebrated actress of our time. Erin, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for joining us on Talk Radio Europe. Now, I've got so many questions. We've only got 10 minutes, so I just want to try and get through it as best I can. I want to talk about the book, and I want to talk about you as well. So my first question, the book about explores Streep's unique talent as a drama chameleon who disappears fully into each character she plays, making each role her own. She never tackles the same role twice. Can you tell me why? I mean, listen, Meryl, I look back and I think of Kramer versus Kramer, and she is just an icon. She's just the best. I mean, why? Does someone help her choose the roles? I mean, does she go out and say, oh yeah, I'll take that one? Or does someone select and say, look, I think you need to audition? How does she get out there and get the right roles?
Oh, I mean, it's like Meryl doesn't, first of all, she doesn't sit around and wait for the roles to come to her. And you would think that because she's Meryl Streep and she probably gets scripts, you know, 20, 30 scripts sent to her doorstep a day. But no, she goes after the roles that she wants, from Kramer versus Kramer all the way to Little Women, Greta Gerwig's remake that's coming out in December, where she plays Aunt March. She heard about that movie. She lobbied for a role in it, and now she's going to star in it. So Meryl doesn't sit back. She goes after what she wants.
That's incredible. I would have thought she would have had like a team of people sort of putting their nose to the ground, or their ear to the ground, as they say, and say, oh, there's this film being talked about. This could be good. But she's obviously very on it.
Oh, yeah. And she doesn't really listen to her team. I mean, she has a PR team that, you know, is watching out for her. But as far as her agent, like, he's passes on roles to her that he thinks she might not even like. For instance, when the Mamma Mia script got to her agent, he was like, I don't think she'd want to do this. This is like, would involve her wearing overalls and singing ABBA songs. She wouldn't want to do this. So she was kind of like, wait a second. You know, don't assume that I wouldn't be interested, because of course I'd be interested. She loves any opportunity to sing. And she knew that that ABBA, you know, musical movie would be a massive hit, which it was. It made $600 million around the world. So she had the last laugh.
Can I just say, would you, honestly, looking back, all the, you know, let's go back to like when the beginning, Kramer versus Kramer, all the films you did at the beginning, would you ever back then say, yep, she's going to play in Mamma Mia? Never. You wouldn't put it there, would you?
Never. Because you think of her in her 70s, 80s heyday. So you have Kramer versus Kramer, The French Lieutenant's Woman, Sophie's Choice, for which she won Best Actress, Out of Africa, A Cry in the Dark, Ironweed. There are so many serious films that she did in the 80s that you would never expect that she would sort of loosen up and portray a character that has so much joie de vivre. But as Meryl's gotten older, she's embraced that side of her. And you see her in romantic comedies, in the Nancy Meyers movie, It's Complicated.
I love that film. It's Complicated. Brilliant. I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah. It's, as she's gotten older, she's gotten more comfortable showing her sense of humor. Because when she was younger, you know, you want to be taken seriously in your 20s and you want that Oscar. And the only time you're going to get an Oscar when you're, you know, young and you're a young actress is if you play serious, dramatic roles. They never give Oscars to comedians.
I mean,
or comedians.
She's 70 years old, isn't she?
She is.
I can't believe that. It's unbelievable. She's 70 and she still looks great.
Oh my God. She looks fabulous. Every person I interviewed, I interviewed a lot of people for this book, her co-stars, directors, you know, crew from her movies. Everybody told me unsolicited, Meryl, by the way, is gorgeous in person, as if I would be surprised. You know, I've met her and interviewed her in person and, you know, she's, to me, she's beautiful on film and in person, but she tends to hide or shroud her beauty on camera because, you know, she started out in the theater. So her goal from the very beginning was to play a different type of character each role. She didn't want to be typecast as the beautiful young ingenue, which she certainly could have. You know, she could have done like 10 out of Africa's in a role and played the romantic leading lady. But, you know, given her training at Yale, her interest in theater and her interest in playing unlikable kind of prickly female characters, she wanted to disappear rather than let her beauty shine, especially in the 80s. And also today, like she wears masks and, you know, not masks, but
that would be kind of interesting.
She wears a mask sometime in her role, like in Into the Woods, but she wears heavy makeup, wigs, and she changes her voice and gets into character from the outside in and does her advanced research. But she really, really works very hard to become somebody new.
So Queen Meryl, I mean, how long did it take you to research the whole of her legendary life? I mean, it's a huge life.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it was a massive undertaking. It took me in total about a year. I did more than 100 interviews. I watched every single Meryl movie.
Wow.
And
wow.
65. I mean, I can't keep track. The Laundromat just came out on Netflix. And I read every single article and watched every single interview that she's ever done to try to piece together the puzzle of her personality. Because the thing about Meryl is that she's unknowable in a way. She doesn't want to be known. Some actors play themselves. Tom Cruise plays himself in every role. He's a great actor, but he really embraces that, his larger-than-life persona. She doesn't want to do that because she doesn't want to be typecast in any sort of role, like Tom Cruise is the action guy. She doesn't want that. So it was a challenge for me to try to get to know her. And the best way for me to do that was to interview people around her to see what she was like.
So you didn't actually, did you interview her as well? Did you spend some hours with her?
She doesn't want to talk about how great she is.
Oh, bless.
Because she doesn't like those shows of ego, but she did help me fact check. And she did approve the cover image.
Fantastic. I mean, this is the new book. Just if you've joined us, it's Queen Meryl talking to Erin Carlson about her brand new book. It's just come out, hasn't it? You've just launched.
It just launched and it's been super fun. And I'm so glad to talk to you as well because she's truly a global phenomenon. Since the book came out, I have been messaging online with strippers from Peru, the Philippines, Europe, and it's fascinating because you would think a larger-than-life character like, you know, Tom Cruise, he's obviously, you know, famous around the world, but I always underestimate her international appeal, the fact that she's a global phenomenon, the fact that Mamma Mia was a huge blockbuster hit, and her later films, too, and I just think that speaks to Meryl's brilliance that she's able to resonate as she does.
I mean, she's had a lot of ups and downs, like everyone. All of us have had our ups and downs. Was there anything that surprised you when you wrote the book? You went, gosh, really?
Oh, yeah. What surprised me the most, I think, was that she's a lot of fun.
You know, she does look a bit scary. You know, you look at her and you think, oh, God, what would she be like in person?
Oh, yeah, right? What surprised me was that she's more spontaneous and playful than I originally thought. I thought she'd be like super serious, very Daniel Day-Lewis on set. But in The River Wild, her first and last action film, it's actually a really great movie. She plays a river guide, saving her family from a homicidal Kevin Bacon.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, she would just get really bored on the river. You know, she was on the raft for like 14-hour days. So she and Kevin Bacon would moon. They would kind of drop trowel.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
And the director, Curtis Hanson, who was off filming them from, you know, the cliff. And she's been known to bum a cigarette off a co-star, you know, smoking socially.
Yeah.
She's been known to bake for people on set.
Well, she is a grandma.
Yes.
She is a grandma.
She's a grandma.
Yeah.
Yes.
This year, isn't it?
Oh yeah. She, her daughter, Mamie, had her first child. Mm. So Meryl, this year, turned 70 years old. She became a grandma for the first time.
Gosh,
and she celebrated her 41st anniversary to her husband, Don Gummer, one of the longest running marriages in Hollywood. Unheard of.
Well, but you know why? Because of what you said. She's just very normal, very down to earth. And like you said, and I mean, she's got the most amazing skin as well. But she's just down to earth. And I think that works. You know, if you sometimes in Hollywood, you can, you know, get so far above yourself that you think you're so amazing and look down on people. She obviously doesn't. She looks at you like a real person. And I think that is so commendable. I really do.
I read today that she's doing Little Women promotions already, even though the movie comes out in December. So they screened the movie in LA yesterday, and she shocked the actors. She bought them fast food. There's a fast food chain in the U.S. called Wendy's.
Oh, yes, I know Wendy's.
It's
third
tier McDonald's.
Yeah.
And she bought them fast food because everyone was hungry, and they didn't, you know, they were shocked that Meryl Streep would buy everyone fast food and not something like an organic meal. So I think that speaks to her kind of grandmotherly.
Yeah, the caring, motherly, grandmotherly side of her. Now, the other question I've got for you, because you were talking a bit about movie gossip on set. Kramer versus Kramer. I mean, whenever I think of Meryl, I do think of Kramer versus Kramer. There was a few scenes in there that I did read about that apparently the two of them majorly clash, which I am so shocked. But actually, in real life, they really clashed.
Oh, for sure. So she starred in Kramer vs. Kramer with Dustin Hoffman, who was a huge jerk on that movie.
Yeah.
Huge jerk. And he was in real life, he was going through a divorce from his wife of 10 years, who was leaving him to revive her dancing career. And he was just so pissed off. And he's a method actor. So he feels like he has to mine his personal trauma in order to play a character, in order to live the character. So kind of Daniel Day-Lewis. And Meryl doesn't need to do that. She can get to a character from the outside in through research, hair, makeup, voice, whatever. So they clashed because they had different methods. And anyway, in the scene where her character leaves his character, the camera starts rolling and Dustin just slaps her really hard on the cheek so that it leaves a red handprint. The director and the crew were horrified. Meryl was furious. She kept filming the scene, but she never forgot that. I mean, he overstepped. That wasn't in the script, and he completely overstepped.
There's something about smashed the glass and it stayed in her hair for days or something.
Oh, yeah. In another scene, he smashed a glass over her head.
That's
not in the script.
Yeah.
And there were shards of glass everywhere. And she was like, ah, she never worked with him again, which I think is extremely telling.
I'm not surprised. So we're talking Queen Meryl. We're talking to Erin Carlson, based in LA, who has just released this amazing book, which I have to say, it just looks amazing. And I think to actually investigate someone's life like Meryl Streep, you must have had the best time. I mean, what a person to sort of, you know, to look into and look into her life from the beginning. Because also her mother, wasn't her mother really supportive and lovely? Or did I read that wrong?
Oh, no, you read that right. So her mother, Mary, was an artist and just had so much love of life that when Meryl was playing Julia Child, you know, who just bubbled up with giddiness and joy, she used her mother as an example. as her inspiration, because her mother was like that. And her mother told her from a very young age that she could do anything. And as a result, Meryl said, that made her arrogant and confident.
Which is so nice.
And I think that's a great message.
You know what? There's a lot of Hollywood. You read about Hollywood actors that obviously had parents that were so dysfunctional. It's so nice to hear that she actually had a mother that supported her.
Oh, yeah. So when Meryl was in seventh grade, she was in a school pageant or whatever. She sings "O Holy Night" in French, and her voice shocked everyone. It was so great. It was a coloratura soprano. So her mother, Mary, took her into New York from New Jersey on Saturdays to take voice lessons with the renowned voice instructor, Estelle Liebling. So yeah, they were very supportive of their daughter's creative pursuits. Because Mary, her mother, was an artist herself. So I think she might have lived a little through Meryl. She told Meryl to enjoy the spotlight
a little
bit more.
She got it. She got it. I think when you've got a supportive mother, you've won the battle, really, because there's nothing like trying to go against what your mother thinks you should be doing.
Right. And Meryl did say that her upbringing in New Jersey, you know, it's a conformist, kind of conservative, suburban life. And Meryl rebelled a little bit by when she went to college, went to Vassar. She became a massive feminist, stopped washing her hair.
As you do.
She just like was with all girls kind of fantasia college where she, you know, really let her hair down and could be herself and be funny and profane. And she's like, I can say, I don't think I can swear on the air, the A word, nobody will say anything. So I think that was her, she did have a squarish upbringing. And I think going to college introduced us to the hippie Meryl. she's a low key hippie. But introduce us to the hippie Meryl that we know today.
Oh, do you know what? Yeah, and her, I just can't stop looking at her skin. She just looks like, I mean, seriously. I mean, I know there's a lot of airbrush photo, you know, making the photo airbrushing. But I don't, what's she like in real life? Does she have, seriously, the best skin?
I was shocked, first of all. I know she's been anti-plastic surgery even since death becomes her. Mm. She's like, why would you carve your face? She's 70, and I'm sorry, there's no way you don't get a little
absolutely.
Work done.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
A little Botox here and there.
Yeah.
But I thought about this a lot because, you know, I just think her skin is so, so good.
It's amazing.
It's well-maintained.
Erin, I could talk to you for the next hour all about her because I do love her, but we're out of time. But I just want to talk to you about quickly about you. What's next for you?
Oh, I am working on a novel. my first book was a biography of Nora Ephron, the filmmaker. My second book was a biography, and I want to do something different. I want to pivot like Meryl Streep and kind of challenge myself.
Good for you. Well, we'll be watching out. Come back, talk to us on Talk Radio Europe, please. We love it. And good luck with the book. It's out on Amazon and also in our Talk Radio Europe shop online. Erin, thank you so much for chatting. Again, the reminder, it's Queen Meryl by Erin Carlson. Everything about Meryl Streep. If you love her, get this book. Thank you, Erin, so much.